Verse 1, chapter number 15 of the Gospel according to Luke, as we move our way through this great, great Gospel. Verse 1, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." And that's how God pinned it down for us, and we all say, amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, our dependence today is not in us. Our dependence today is in your word and in your spirit. I pray that you will take your word and you will speak to our spiritual ears by the way of the power of the Holy Spirit today. God, that we would hear your voice, we would see you in a clearer and greater way. God, we would glory in the work that you do, the work of salvation, the work of redemption, the work of saving lost sinners. We joy in you do that because you have done that in our own hearts. May we rejoice that we have been found by God. And I pray, God, that you may find a sinner that you have been searching for here today, and that you will bring them home through repentance. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Chapter 15 of the Gospel of Luke is a chapter that contains three parables: the parable of the lost sheep, and the parable of the lost silver that we read, and the parable of the lost sons, plural, lost sons. The three parables in this chapter are part of five consecutive parables, with two more coming in chapter number 16. We will look at the first two this morning, and then we'll spend some time beginning next week looking at the parable of the lost sons. I think that the three parables in chapter 15 show us salvation from two different perspectives. In the parables of the lost sheep and the lost silver, we see salvation from God's perspective. And then the parable of the lost son, we see salvation from man's perspective. And I think that we make theological mistakes when we see salvation only from one vantage point and not from both, because both need to be accounted for. God seeks and saves the lost, and yet man must repent and place his faith in Christ. And so both perspectives are true, and we need to see from both sides. So today we'll look at the two parables, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost silver. And I want to share three thoughts from these two parables. Now let me say, the context of the parables is verses 1 and 2. Jesus Christ is answering the murmuring of the Pharisees and scribes, who are critical and are complaining that Jesus Christ claims to be the Messiah, claims to be the coming one, and yet he receives sinners and eats with sinners. And so in answer to that complaint, answer to that murmuring, Jesus gives us these parables. Let's begin by looking at the condition. Now, do you notice the condition of both the sheep and the coin? Because they do have things in common, right? The sheep and the coin are not like one another, yet they have at least two things in common according to the passage. Two things that tell us their condition. Number one, they are both lost. To be lost is to lose something that one has already possessed, or to be separated from a normal connection. Now, this particular lostness speaks to our condition apart and separated from God. We are lost. As the sheep was lost from the shepherd, and as the coin was lost from the woman, we are separated and lost in the sense that we are apart from God. Now, the main problem with sin is that it has caused us and has separated us from God. The effect of sinfulness is a separation from God, or what we would call a lostness. There was a time when God possessed man's absolute devotion and trust in the Garden of Eden. Amen? Then sin came, and every human since has been born lost. Let me help you. Original sin infects all of us. We're all born as the sheep and the coin lost. What does it mean to be lost spiritually? Well, we have to consider the objects of the two parables, sheep and coins, or sheep and a coin. There is one sheep out of 99 that's lost, right? Or one sheep out of 100, one sheep is lost, 99 still remain. There's one coin lost out of 10. And when you put that in proper perspective, that which is lost is not worth a whole lot compared to what the owner already possesses. One out of 100, one out of 10. What I want to say here is that there is no righteousness in the sheep or the silver. If you lose one sheep, you still have 99. If you lose one coin, you still have 9. And you see, the Pharisees considered these sinners, these publicans, these prostitutes and the like, they considered them to be losers. Not worth the effort. They weren't keeping the law. In fact, they were sinning against the law. Let them remain lost. That would be the philosophy of the Pharisees. If they're not going to keep the law, let them be lost. Let them be separated. Let them be apart. They do not good. They don't jump through religious hoops. They're sinners. They're losers. They're lost. They also have no ability in themselves to find themselves. Let me help you here this morning. Sheep are not dogs or cats. they don't find their way home. Sheep only get more lost. Silver, a lost coin, does not find itself. It cannot holler at you and tell you where it's at. It has no ability to simply turn up. Matter of fact, the lost coin will stay lost exactly where it was lost. The sheep will only become more lost. Sheep, when lost, stay lost. Silver, when lost, stays lost until somebody finds it. Somebody help me. What does it mean to be lost? It means to be without righteousness. It means to be without worth. It means to be in need of someone to come and find you, or else you will stay lost and ultimately will be destroyed. What do the coin and the sheep have in common? They're both lost. What do you and I have in common with the sheep and the coin? We all have been lost. Number two, not only have they in common lostness, but they are both loved. The sheep is loved. The coin is loved. In their lost estate, they are still desired by the shepherd and the woman. The shepherd wants his lost sheep. The woman wants her lost coin. And they love them so much, they're not going to let them remain lost. Even though the shepherd has 99 others, even though the woman has 9 others, they're not going to let the one lost sheep or the one lost coin remain lost. And I want you to notice that the lost objects here are loved in their lostness. They don't have to come back to be loved. They don't have to straighten up to be loved. They're loved while they're still lost. They are not loved once they're found, but while they're still lost. In fact, it is the love for these objects that triggers the search. The shepherd who has a sheep that has wandered off, that shepherd, who is that? It's God. The woman who's lost a piece of money, it's disappeared into the darkness and the debris of the house, who is that? That's God. God is the shepherd who has lost a sheep. God is the woman who has lost a piece of silver. He is the God who so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He is the God who loved us while we were yet sinners. What I want to communicate to you today is that our lostness, our rebellion, our sinfulness has not diminished God's love toward us. The separation between man and God caused by sin has not tainted the love of God toward lost sinners. To God, the sinner is something lost to Him, something that belongs to Him, something that He has feelings toward. Amen? So the sheep are lost. The sheep is lost. The coin is lost. Yet the sheep and the coin are both loved. So their situation is not entirely hopeless. While they have no merit of their own, while they cannot find themselves, while the sheep is just going to get more lost and the silver is going to stay lost, the hope is someone loves them enough to find them. You with me? Notice secondly the commitment. The love of God toward sinners is manifest and qualified by His efforts toward the sinner. Jesus just doesn't print in His Bible that He loves sinners. He has shown that He loves sinners. He manifests His love. He quantifies His love by making the effort toward the sinner. Now notice the search. Jesus says here that the shepherd leaves the 99 in the wilderness and seeks the one sheep that is lost. Leaves the 99 and searches for the one. The woman here in the parable is not satisfied with having 9 remaining coins, but she seeks out the one lost coin. You with me? In other words, great effort is made to restore that which is lost. In fact, I would say this. Nothing is left undone that needs to be done in order to find the sheep and find the coin. No sacrifice, no effort is too great in order to find the lost sheep and the lost coin. The shepherd will go looking in every dangerous place where his sheep might be eating the green grass, not knowing that he is on the very edge of a cliff, only feet from falling off to his death. The woman lights a candle, gets a broom, and sweeps the entire house in search for the lost coin. The search is in both the shepherd and the woman. The search is a diligent search. And can I say this morning that God loves the sinner? Jesus has come to live and to die in the place of the sinner. And the Holy Spirit makes the sinner spiritually alive and convicts and convinces and reveals Christ to the sinner. The work of finding the lost, the work of finding that which is lost, is the work of a triune God. What did Jesus say was his mission? Did not Jesus say, I have come to seek and save the lost? From this divine perspective, God is passionate and God is seeking, God is searching, God is looking for the sinner. The sinner is lost, cannot help himself, cannot find himself, and it is God himself who has come and makes the effort to find him. The blessing is that he sought me. The blessing is that he sought you. The blessing is that he bought us with his redeeming blood. But listen, you lost were found by God. Without the work of God in seeking out the lost sinner, lost sinners will always remain lost. Notice secondly, not only the search, but notice the success. The Bible says the shepherd searches till he finds the sheep. The woman searches until she finds the coin. Does your Bible say that? The shepherd searches till he finds the sheep. The woman searches till she finds the coin. The shepherd doesn't stop searching till he finds the sheep. The woman doesn't stop sweeping the house until she finds the coin. In both cases, in both parables, there was successful endings to the search. And I want to say this, and I hope you believe this. God always finds what he seeks. Anyone who comes to Christ has been sought and has been found by God. No matter how lost the sinner is, how great the sins may be, God seeks the sinner and he always finds the sinner. Now, we are not told the exact nature of the search. We're not told all the details of the search. We don't know all that the shepherd had to undergo to find the lost sheep, only that he searches and he searches and he searches until he finds it. God does not stop until he finds what he's looking for. Now, when we say that God seeks and finds a sinner, What we mean is that by the miracle of regeneration, the sinner comes to his senses, as we'll see next week, repents of his sins, and begins to seek after God himself. Or we could say, if a sinner ever seeks after God, it means that God has first sought after him and found him and brought about a spiritual resurrection in his life. Whenever God searches for that which is lost, he never comes back empty-handed. He always finds what he's searching for. Amen? So I have been sought and I have been found by a God who loves me even when I'm lost. Number three, the celebration. At the end of the effort to seek and find the lost sheep and the lost coin, there is in both situations a celebration. Can I say this? When things are found, there is joy. The relief of the worst not coming about brings joy, right? The sheep could have easily been killed. The coin could have very easily never been found. But it was found, and then there's joy because of the finding. The peace of having what was yours that you have lost brings joy. So the thrust of these two parables is that when the shepherd finds the sheep and the woman finds the coin, there is joy, there is rejoicing, there is a celebration at the finding of what has been lost. Can I say there's personal joy here in the life and the heart of the shepherd and in the life and the heart of the woman? The Bible says the shepherd finds the sheep, puts the sheep on his shoulders, and rejoices. You ever wonder why the shepherd put the sheep on his shoulders? Because even when the sheep was found, he's not going to follow the shepherd home. Again, it's not a dog, and it's not a cat. It's a sheep. And Jesus illustrates us as sheep for a purpose. Because even when we're found, we don't want to follow the shepherd back home. So what does he do? He grabs the sheep. He handles the sheep. He puts the sheep on his shoulders. And he carries the sheep back home. And what is he doing all the way as he's carrying this 90, 100, 110-pound sheep on his shoulders? He's rejoicing that he has found that which is lost. And then they both call their neighbors. And it says here that the command is for the neighbors and the friends to rejoice with them. So there is personal joy in the heart of the shepherd and the woman. Listen, God does not find any pleasure in the death of the wicked, but he finds great joy in the salvation of sinners. As the shepherd rejoices over his found sheep, and as a woman rejoices over her found coin, so does God rejoice over a found sinner. Amen? God does not reluctantly seek after sinners. He doesn't reluctantly find sinners. He does it with great joy. But notice, secondly, the public joy. Not only personal joy, but public joy. There are two imperatives in this passage, two commands. They are the same. Rejoice. The shepherd calls his friends and his neighbors and says, "Come, rejoice with me. I have found the lost sheep." The woman calls her neighbors and friends and says, "Come, rejoice with me. I have found the lost coin." The word rejoice in both situations, imperative commands. And we also see that there is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents and comes to Christ. It's not just the rejoicing of the shepherd. It's not just the rejoicing of the woman. But the rejoicing in the finding of the sheep and the finding of the coin and the finding of a sinner ought to spread and incorporate other human beings, and it spreads and incorporates the entirety of heaven itself. Joy over lost sinners found here in the text. What I want you to see, though, is that the joy is directed at the one who finds the lost things and not the one who is found. Rejoice with me, for I have found the lost sheep. Rejoice with me, for I have found the lost coin. Rejoice with me, I found. The emphasis is not on the object that has been found, but on the one who has made the effort and has displayed the diligence of not giving up till it was found. The praise goes to the one who found it, not to the one who was found. It is God who diligently sought me. It's God who loved me when I was unlovable. It was God who didn't give up on me when everybody else did. It was God who followed me and followed me to the dregs of sin of this life. It is God who did not quit till He found me and brought me to Himself. Praise Him! Not me. I was found. He found me. Why do we do it opposite? The sheep and the coin had nothing to do with their finding. It was a shepherd and the woman in whom the joy surrounds. The sheep and the coin contributed absolutely nothing to their finding. It was a shepherd and the woman who made all the effort to find that which is lost. Praise be to a seeking God who loves, searches, and finds them that are lost and brings them into His possession. Praise be to Him. That shepherd does not follow the sheep doesn't follow the shepherd home after it's lost. And that coin doesn't jump off the floor into the woman's pocket once she finds it. They must be grasped by the one that finds it and brought to the place of former possession. Amen. Now let me close with this. Listen closely. I think the most tragic word in the Bible and in human speech is the word lost. Are you listening? Can you hear me? Can you turn me up just a bit? When we take the word lost and we apply that word to anything, it spells tragedy. Apply the word loss to your health. They've lost their health. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? They were strong, they were well, they were supporting their family, they were doing good in life, and then an illness has come and they have lost their health. It's not good. Apply it to your eyes. She has lost her sight. She had sight. She could see. She could behold. But he has lost his sight. Now he gropes through darkness to try to find his way. It's not a good thing. Say amen. Amen. Apply that word to your mind. They've lost their minds. They knew they could comprehend, but now they've lost their mind. Every time you put the word lost, it's a tragedy. It's bad. And when you put the word lost in the frame of a person's soul, it's bad. It's a tragedy that someone has a lost soul. And the sinner in this life is lost. He is miserable, he is unhappy, he is restless, and never finds peace and rest for their soul. They are shallow, they are empty, they are without life, and they do anything to drown the reality of their existence. The sinner is lost in this life. He has no God to pray to, he has no Christ in his heart. He has to indulge in unhealthy, ungodly things. He has to be entertained or amused. He can't live with himself. Life is not all sunshine. Life is not all joy, not all gladness. There are sorrows, disappointments, despairs that come into every soul, and we need God, and without Him, we are lost. And the sinner is lost. The sinner will be lost in death, right? To the sinner, death is darkness, judgment. The sinner is lost in death. To him, it is gloom and darkness. While the Christian simply, the Bible says, falls asleep in Jesus. The Christian looks up and there is God in Christ. There is heaven. There's home. There's sweetness. There's precious inheritance. He just closes his eyes and this earth passes away and he opens them in glory. He leaves this shore to step into the shores of heaven. But the sinner, when he dies, he faces indescribable gloom, darkness, and torment. Sinner is lost in death. He's lost at the judgment bar of an almighty God. And you understand someday we will all appear before the Lord who made us. And when that great day comes, we stand in the presence of the Almighty and the angel who records in God's book of life the names of those who have loved and trusted Him. The lost sinner stands in the presence of that God who made him, and the God who made him says, "Look through the book of life and see if I can find his name." And the recording angel turns through the book of life and turns and turns and turns and finally says, "I cannot find his name. His name is not written here." And the lost sinner shall say, "Oh, but wait, God, wait. You don't understand. Let me explain. I was simply too busy having a good time. I was too busy being entertained. I was too busy seeking pleasure. Lord, you don't understand. I was just too busy." And God says, "But my word says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment." The lost sinner will say, "Oh, but God, you don't understand. Let me try to explain. God, listen, I wasn't all that bad. I wasn't all evil inside. Look at the good deeds that I did in my life. I did some good. I'm not as bad as some." And God will say, "Did I not write in my book that all of your righteousness is as filthy rags in my sight?" But God, the lost sinner shall say, "But God, wait a minute, you don't understand. Let me explain. Oh God, it was like this. I was so confused. There's so many churches and so many denominations and so many hypocrites." The Lord God shall say, "Did I say anything about hypocrites? Did I say anything about churches? Did I say anything about denominations? Didn't I say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved? But God, you don't understand. Let me explain. You don't understand. Let me explain. I was waiting for some great experience, some mighty feeling just to pick me up and set me in the kingdom of God, that a feeling of some great experience. It didn't come." And the Lord God will say, "Did I say anything in my book about a great experience? Did I say anything in my book about feelings? Did I not write in my book, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." And the lost sinner shall say, "Lord, hear me, please. Let me explain. I did not intend to be lost. I never intended to die and fall into the pit of hell. I meant to be saved. I intended to make it right before I died. Lord." And God says, "Did I not write in my book, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation." And the recording angel shall open the book of damnation and write his name, and after it, the word lost. The greatest tragedy in the world is to have your name written in God's book, followed by the word lost. Lost. The sinner lost in death, lost in judgment, and lost for all eternity. Lost. And I ask you today, will you come to Christ?